Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the expendable Matthew Henry. How you doing, chump?
Wait a minute, expendable?
Yep.
I got a contract, dude. Like, I'm not expendable.
Oh, do you? Do you?
I have a contract? I have to check with my
agent. Are you sure? Wait, what?
Maybe I should check with my agent.
You probably should check with your agent, because your agent's just as screwed as you are. What's 10% of nothing?
Nothing.
That's right. That's right. No 30-day or 45-day termination here.
Oh, all right. Well, expendable. So my contract status notwithstanding, I don't know if you've got anyone to replace me. It's not like you've lined anyone up.
No, but I could also trade you for somebody better.
Could you?
Yes. Somebody more established.
Maybe the other podcast people know that you're desperate and aren't going to want to give you anything of value for me.
Then I'll call up one of our prospects.
You got a minor league of podcasters? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. I do. In fact, your nephew has been clamoring, "Hey, when are you going to let me in? When are you going to get me up? That guy's a chump. He's done." Sorry, my nephew.
Yes.
Not your nephew.
Right.
My nephew. My nephew, your son.
I got to warn you, okay? He doesn't know a whole lot about the Giants.
We don't know a whole lot about the Giants.
I can name at least half of the 26-man roster.
Could you? Because I was looking at the 40-man roster today, man, and there were a lot of names on there I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say 40-man. I can name at least half of the 26, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all still trying to figure out what the 26-man roster is going to be. Yes. Anyway, there's been a lot of talk, Matthew, about trades. There's been a lot of talk about J.D. Davis. Like, boy, are we all learning about the ins and outs of the business and contract side of baseball when it comes to J.D. Davis.
Are we learning?
I'm learning. I learned a lot, and I'm ready to talk about it, but I'm not ready to talk about it now.
Okay, good, because I don't understand any of it.
I understand, like, a 10% of it, enough to be dangerous.
Okay, enough to maybe give us some insight, maybe a little bit?
Yeah, but I'm hoping that, like, somebody smarter than us is listening to the show, or maybe who somebody's job it is to actually write about this stuff is listening to the show, which seems like a stretch, but maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
And maybe one of those guys could take their salary and use it to do their job and explain what's happening to J.D. Davis to us. But before we get to all of that, I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you could trade for a better, more experienced and established brother.
Oh, absolutely, I would.
No, I'm not asking if you would. I know.
Okay.
The question is, who would it be?
I don't know if I've had my scouting department scouting out other brothers. Like, I don't know. Like, I assume that we've got some kind of list somewhere that if I had the opportunity for a more.
Yeah, it says brothers from another mother.
Yeah. Well, I think.
Or other mothers.
Maybe Alex Pavlovich would probably be,
what?
You know, number one on my list.
Wow.
Followed closely by Cole Kuiper, but Cole doesn't really know as much about the Giants as Alex, so I think I'd want to do Alex more. Ben Kaspic seems kind of solo guy. I don't know how he would play.
He's an only child. Yeah, only child.
So I don't know if he would be a really good brother kind of matchup. I don't know. I may be stuck with you, man.
I think you are. I would trade you for Fleming.
Oh, sure. Oh, well.
For sure in a second.
I wouldn't blame you.
Hot second. Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, my brother's a podcaster with Dave Fleming.
Yeah, but I get it why you wouldn't trade me.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, that all jives. That all jives. Anyway, today is Sunday, March 10th, as we record this podcast. The San Francisco Giants went 3-2 this past week. I actually checked.
All right.
But they were also rained out twice in Arizona. I don't know what good Arizona is. There's only two good things about Arizona. The fact that it doesn't rain during spring training and they don't have to do daylight savings. That's it. That's the only thing, the only things that are good about this state. And it failed on one of those this past week twice.
Right. Well, there's been more rainouts in Arizona than there were all of last year in San Francisco.
Yeah. It's an excellent stat. Excellent stat. Arizona, useless. So the rain was kind of a big story this past week. It got in the way. But the Giants went 3-2 and got rained out twice. They went 3-2 because they played two games today as a split squad. And they had as their starting pitcher in each game a guy whose name I don't remember. It was Howard, and I think the other one was Seymour. I remember. I just don't care. And let's see. What else happened this week? Nothing big. Oh, wait. J.D. Davis.
Got traded.
No, he didn't.
No,
he didn't.
How did that happen?
No, he didn't. He got waived, Matthew. Oh, my gosh. First of all, Matthew, do you know what it means to be waived?
It means you're cut, is what I'm
thinking. No, it does not.
No?
No. It does not mean you're cut.
It means that the Giants don't want you anymore. Your team doesn't want you anymore.
It might not even mean that. I mean, it does in this case. Yes.
I'm confused. Yes. Explain it to me, Ben.
Well, waived means that the Giants are willing to give you up to any of the other 29 major league teams. Well, I guess any team. It's not just the Giants. Any team can waive players, not just the Giants. But it means that the Giants are offering you up to any one of the other 29 major league teams, and they can take you. However, if they do take you, they have to take you and your full salary for the upcoming season, and they have to put you right now, because it's spring training and there is no 26-man roster, they have to put you on their 40-man roster. And then whatever rules would apply to you as it relates to the 26-man roster would apply to you on opening day. That's what it means to be waived, Matthew. All of the 29 other teams could claim you. Now, the team with the worst record from the previous year, because we're not in season right now, would get first crack at you. Here's the thing, though. So the team with the lowest record that claims him will get him. But it's possible that nobody will do that, Matthew, and we'll know what happened after 48 hours, which I think is going to happen sometime tomorrow or Monday, the day we release this podcast. The outcome of this particular maneuver could have already been known. If he is not claimed, do you know what that means for J.D. Davis, Matthew?
He goes crying to his mother because nobody wants him.
No, or maybe. Maybe. That's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad.
I mean, this is all very not good for J.D. Davis.
Yeah, I feel bad for J.D. Davis. I feel like he's kind of screwed no matter what.
What he found out is nobody wants to trade for him.
Right.
So now he's being given away for free.
He could be a Colorado Rocky. I mean, those are some really bad things.
He could be, but he's basically giving him away for free. I mean, not really free. For $6.9 million he's being given away. And he's about to find out if nobody wants him even there. But here's the thing. If nobody claims him, Matthew, do you know what the Giants have to do with him?
No.
Nothing. They could just keep him. they could just keep him. They could keep him on their 40-man roster and do nothing with him.
So if everybody says, now, nah, we're good, then they're like, okay, never mind?
They could. They could say never mind and just keep him.
Okay.
They could. So that is one outcome. They believe these are what we call... So first of all, folks, there are two or three kinds of waivers out there. I'm still not 100% clear on this. None of them are just called waivers. Okay, they have actual names, but you notice these reporters, they never say what kind of waivers they are because I don't think they know. This whole thing is so confusing and so confounding, but I believe that J.D. Davis was put on outright waivers, which means that if he doesn't get claimed by any of the team, the Giants could then outright him to the minors, even though he doesn't have any options, except they can't. Because J.D. Davis has too many service years as a major league player. So they couldn't outright him without him accepting it. Now, he could accept it, and he could say, sure, I'll go to AAA. Or he could say, no, I'm not going to. And then that would force the Giants to do something else if they wanted to get rid of him. They would have to DFA him, which means release him, which means then the Giants would be on the hook for his salary. So that's all of that. But even that turns out, Matthew, it's not true. They wouldn't be on the hook for his salary if they released him now. And this is where it gets more confusing.
Thank you for saying that, because I'm already confused. Yeah.
We need somebody who's smarter than all of us. We need like an Alex Pavlovich or somebody, or a Susan Slusser or somebody, to go write a story and figure and exactly explain what's happening to us. But it sounds like the Giants don't. You know that $6.9 million that J.D. Davis won in arbitration and the Giants have to pay him?
Yeah.
They don't have to pay him that.
Really?
Really? Because they could decide, you know, because he won. Well, they could just decide, because he went to arbitration and he didn't sign a contract that they offered to him, they could just decide to release him. And all they have to do is pay him some sort of severance pay, which is like 30 days if they release him before the 16th day of spring training, and 45 days if they release him after the 16th day of spring training, which, by the way, I think the 16th day of spring training is about to hit us. So the Giants are trying to, I think, go for the 30th day instead of the 45-day deal. The point is, J.D. Davis is not guaranteed his $6.9 million because he went to arbitration. And won. And I don't think it matters whether he won or not. What matters is he went to arbitration. And suddenly, Matthew, I think I know why the Giants went to arbitration with J.D. Davis.
Right, because they were in on Matt Chapman and knew that if they got him, then J.D. Davis would be expendable and they didn't want to have to pay him his salary.
And they were worried if they couldn't trade him and other teams, like, you know, played chicken with them, then they could go this arbitration route. And then the contract wouldn't be guaranteed. And so now the Giants can release J.D. Davis and save that $6.9 million, which means now they have, and I don't know, because I do think they do have to pay him severance. This is the part that I'm not super clear on. I did a lot of reading on Major League Baseball's website, and there's nothing explicitly that calls out J.D. Davis's exact situation, but it sounds like they might have to pay him severance pay. And that might count against their luxury tax. It might not. But the point is, the Giants have to have suddenly cleared close to $7 million. So instead of having $13 million clear on the luxury tax, they're now close to $20 clear on the luxury tax, which is still not enough to sign Blake Snell. So stop. Just you listeners, just stop it. Stop yelling his name. I can hear you from the future. Stop yelling his name.
And they could go over the luxury tax, you know, they could do that.
They could. And then I'd have to drink two Negronis, and that's just not happening. No Snell Gronies. So anyway, Matthew.
Wow.
Is that all clear now?
No. I think you did a really good job of your best job of explaining it. How anybody understands any of this is just, you know, what's interesting is that here we are as fans and pundits, and we're like, oh, just trade the guy, or, you know, he's going to be traded. And you don't really think about all of these, the ramifications of arbitration and his guaranteed contract and what's guaranteed. It's all so convoluted and misunderstood that it's, wow. What's really interesting is that Farhan and them, like, probably, you know, there's some forethought into this. They're
sure
kind of playing
know.
Chess, right? I mean, it's, here's what we got to do to make sure that we, you know, cover all of our bases. And that's really fascinating. And I do feel bad for J.D. Davis. I feel like
this is, I mean, first of all, J.D. Davis is getting screwed. That is clear.
Yeah.
I think the Giants foresaw this and knew that if they went through arbitration, they would be able to get out from this contract no matter what, but still also be able to hedge their bets a little bit, because if they weren't able to sign Chapman,
yeah, they got him for 6.9.
Yeah. So they basically got their cake and they got to eat it too. However, I think that if J.D. Davis had just said, you know what, I like your number, let's sign for that number, I don't know. I don't know what would have happened, because if J.D. Davis and the Giants had settled and agreed on a contract and not gone through arbitration, then he wouldn't be in this situation. His contract would have become immediately guaranteed.
Because J.D. So Davis would have signed the contract that the Giants tendered him, that they would have accepted.
Well, I don't know if they tendered him one or not, because, again, I don't know how arbitration works.
Okay, that's the
question. But I think if they had both tendered the same amount, then he probably would have been like, yeah. So I don't know if there was a way for him to get out from underneath this. But if there was, his agent should have known and should have seen this coming, and maybe he should have not worried so much about that $400,000 that he's definitely not getting now, at least not from the Giants. Yeah, the whole thing just feels it just feels icky and gross and weird and confusing, and I don't like it.
It's the business side of baseball that we don't really dig into, and that we, as fans, we don't really want to know about it. We just want the best players out on the field, and then, you know, then these things kind of happen, and it's really weird.
I am confident that J.D. Davis will be playing baseball for another Major League Baseball team this year for millions of dollars, though. And as long as that happens, I'll be okay with it. So that means I can keep drinking my cocktail and listen to you ask us the trivia question.
All right. So today's trivia question, you know, I try to tie it in to what the Giants are doing. And one of the issues that's yet to be decided, I think, for the Giants 26-man roster is who will play shortstop, mainly because Marco Luciano can't stop striking out. And it's not just this spring, right? He's had a history of striking out more than he should, and that has become a problem and has continued to be the one thing, perhaps, that's kind of keeping him from being on the roster at this point. But that got me thinking, like, striking out's bad. So who holds the franchise record for most career strikeouts as a Giant? And so I did a little digging and came up with the answer. So that is my question today to you, Ben, and to our listeners. What former San Francisco Giant holds the franchise record for most career strikeouts?
I think I know the answer to this question. But I also think it might have been broken recently, and so I don't know the answer to this question.
This is not in the season. This is career.
Oh, career.
Yes.
Oh, that changes everything. San Francisco Giants or New York Giants too?
San Francisco. Well, actually, let's just say franchise. Franchise record.
Franchise record. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with Sweet Glove McLou.
Okay.
He played during World War II.
Okay. All right.
And he struck out every at bat, but he played every day.
Okay. All right. Maybe Sweet Glove.
Sweet Glovin. Sweet Glovin McLou.
Sweet Glovin McLou.
Sweet Glovin McLou. That's who I'm going with.
Okay.
Shortstop.
Shortstop. I was thinking more like Johnny LeMaster, you know, could have been a
Wow, that's a good guess. I wish I'd gone with that.
No, but you didn't.
I didn't.
Sweet Glovin McLou.
I didn't. I was also thinking of just going with somebody who played with the Giants for a super long time, just so he would have had a lot of strikeouts. Like, I don't know.
Well, that would be a strategy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet Glovin McLou. I don't know how many seasons he played.
Sweet Glovin McLou. You know what? We got to get some Giant Cocktails jerseys going and get some names on the back of one. I think that one, McLou. Sweet Glovin.
Man. Okay.
Enough with the banter. Let's talk cocktails.
Let's do it, Bob.
What are you drinking, Ben?
Oh, snap. It is me. Bob, I am drinking the Golden Cadillac. It's part of my month of sweetness when I'm being super positive, except about when guys get jobbed by the financial side of baseball. I'm not going to be positive about that.
No.
But I'm going to be positive about everything else, which is I believe the Giants are going to win the World Series this year by nabbing the first place wild card spot with their young guns and...
And sweet,
perfectly signed
McLou.
Free agent. Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, not like Sweet Glovin McLou.
No, not like him.
Remember, he was not very good. He leads the team in strikeouts, Matthew. He's horrible. But anyway, so the Golden Cadillac is a overly sweet, but not too, but you know what? I liked it better than I liked the Mudslide. Bob, that's the long and short of it. I think this is a good dessert cocktail, and it has a simple recipe. It is 1 ounce of Galliano liqueur. This is required. You must get this liqueur, otherwise it is not a Golden Cadillac. Then it has 1 ounce of creme de cacao, 1 ounce of cream of cow, a.k.a. heavy cream, and then you garnish it with cinnamon. To make it, you combine the Galliano, the creme de cacao, and the heavy cream in a shaker with ice. You shake until well incorporated and chilled. Then you double strain it into a Nick and Nora glass, and you garnish it with fresh ground cinnamon. And that's what I'm drinking, Bob. The Golden Cadillac.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail.
It's not bad as a dessert cocktail goes.
What are you drinking, Matthew?
So, Bob, I created my own cocktail called New Horizon for reasons. You can go back to Thursday's episode and hear more about that. But what's in a New Horizon? Well, it has 2 ounces of bourbon, a half ounce of Averna, 3/4 ounce lemon juice, a half ounce of orgeat syrup, 1 dash of cherry bitters, and a pinch of salt. And you add all those ingredients to a shaker with ice, shake a good 10 to 12 seconds until well chilled and diluted. And then you're going to double strain it into a rocks glass with a large chunk of ice, and you're going to garnish it with a cocktail cherry. It is a nice sweet and sour cross between an old fashioned and a bourbon sour. It's a great cocktail, and I'm really enjoying it. That's what I'm drinking, Bob.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail.
It really is, Bob. It really is. And you can go back on Thursday's Happy Hour episode to find out more about that and the creamy Cadillac. What was it called? I don't know. The golden Cadillac. Sorry, the Golden Cadillac.
Yes, the creamy Cadillac. You know how those Cadillacs are. Sometimes they're creamy.
Sometimes. You know, there's been a lot of clamor for trades, including J.D. Davis. We all were, you know, fans were clamoring for J.D. Davis's trade.
We better trade him for something.
All the pundits were assuming that he was going to be traded.
Yep.
Seems like there's a lot of talk about trades, Ben.
Mm.
And particularly as we get closer to the end of spring training, when the rosters need to be set and all of that, there's some maneuvering that needs to happen where you got to get down to your 40 man and then your 26 man. Some people who are maybe projected to be on the 26 are not even on the 40 man. So there's got to be some maneuvering there. And some of that is done through trades, right? I mean, you're going to trade some people that are on your 40 man to give you access to bring on somebody else. So seems like there's a lot of talk out there, Ben, about trades, but I think you've got some opinions about that.
I am sick and tired of all the clamoring and talking about trades. You know, I mean, for my whole life, I have been listening to these KNBR callers call in and make the most ridiculous demands for trades that are always just demonstrate how little we all know about what it takes to trade a baseball player. And here's the first thing that I think the J.D. Davis situation should make clear to all of us. You need a trade partner to trade. And if nobody wants to trade with you for that player, you can't trade him. Now, we all recognize that J.D. Davis is a tremendously valuable player. And we all recognize that the Giants don't have room for him on their roster. But you know who else recognizes that?
All 29 other teams.
That's right. And so if there was a team out there that was absolutely desperate and really, really wanted him, well, they would trade for him. But they also know that at some point, if nobody trades for him, then he becomes a free agent and he can sign with whomever he wants for whatever amount of money that they're willing to pay him. And that could be more than he's owed by the Giants. So then he would make even more.
Or it could be less.
I think. Yeah, I don't know. No, I mean, well, yes, now. Yeah, right? In this particular case, it could be less. And I think a lot of other teams were probably as smart as the Giants were in this situation and realized the Giants weren't on hook for $6.9 million. So maybe there's teams out there now who can sign him for four or three or whatever the number might be. And so they all knew that too. And so J.D. Davis was not a trade value, as not as valuable as a trade piece as we all thought he was. And that's why we're the fans sitting in our closets or wherever you may be sitting. And they get paid to do this. So that's like that's my first thing. Is it's like we're just not all as smart as we think we are. Secondly, like we don't get to force these other teams to make moves that they don't want to make. And so J.D. Davis, at the end of the day, like the Giants are lucky as an organization. And I guess for us as fans, if we don't think about the human side of it, we're lucky that our team is able to get out from underneath that $6.9 million. And that's the best that we can say about that situation. Okay, so that's my first gripe, is it just everybody thinks that they're smarter than they actually are? But here's the other thing. Matthew, what do you think the Giants would have gotten for a J.D. Davis?
Some low-level prospect that may never actually see a major league roster. I mean, that's probably somebody with upside that the Giants have been scouting and thought that maybe the spin rate or their walks to strikeout ratios kind of maybe pretended some success, but more than likely somebody that would never pan out.
Correct. So it's not like the Giants are missing out on a huge haul here. And so, like, if the Giants don't get anything for J.D. Davis, at the end of the day, what you can say is that what the Giants got for J.D. Davis is Matt Chapman. And I've seen Matt Chapman play in one game, and he looks pretty good. He looks pretty good. I mean, that play he made on that chopper comes up, gloves that, and then just, like, underhands it from, you know, I don't know, halfway between home plate and third base to first base. That was a pretty great play. That's what the Giants get for the J.D. Davis situation.
Yeah.
But then there's another player that everybody's really worried about. Like, everybody's super concerned about the Joey Bart situation. Right? And we all know Joey's not going to be a Giant, right?
Yeah.
And the reason we know that is because they signed Tom Murphy. But really, Joey Bart was done when Patrick Bailey made it onto the 40-man. Right? That was the nail in the coffin. Right?
Yeah.
So Joey Bart is out of options.
The out of options thing is really what kind of puts the nail in it.
Well, right. But like, you know what I mean. I mean, he's out of options. And what puts the nail in the coffin is the Giants don't want him. I mean, they don't want him to be there. He's definitely not their starting catcher. Yeah. And then they went and signed Tom Murphy, and he's definitely not their backup catcher. So Joey Bart, and he doesn't have options. So once opening day comes and they set the 26-man roster, Joey Bart has to be let go. He either has to be traded or he has to be DFA'd. He I guess he could choose to go to the San Francisco Giants minor leagues, as we learned earlier in the show. But he's not going to do that.
No,
he shouldn't do that. Joey Bart has to get us.
Some team will sign him to a backup role at some
point. Right. Because he is one of the 60 best at his job in the world. And he has to get as far away from Farhan Zaidi as he can. Like, Farhan Zaidi does not believe in Joey Bart. That is clear. So Joey Bart has to get away. But here's my thing about Joey Bart, Matthew. I don't want the Giants to trade him. At least not today. Not right now. I don't want the Giants to trade him for as long as they can hang on to him, because I think he's more valuable to the Giants right now than whatever they could trade him for, which I think is even less than what they could trade J.D. Davis for.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, backup catchers don't really demand a lot on the trade market. That's a good point, because, right, the reason he hasn't been traded yet is because he is one injured elbow away from being the backup catcher for the Giants. If something were to happen to Murphy or to Bailey, then Bart becomes more important to the Giants than to any other team.
That's right.
So that makes sense, right? They're not going to let him go or trade him until probably the very end of spring training.
And a lot of other teams also know that the Giants have to get rid of him, just like the J.D. Davis situation. So they very well could end up in a situation where they have no trade partners for Joey Bart and they DFA him. And that's okay. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, Farhan screwed this up and this and that and the other thing. I don't agree. I disagree. I think that Joey Bart is more valuable to the Giants as injury insurance for the next 2.5 weeks than he is as a trade piece. Because whatever you're going to get back from him is going to be nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, and Joey Bart's value, I mean, or perceived value, really ties into his number 3 or number 2 overall pick or whatever he was in the draft, which Farhan didn't even pick him, right? So
yeah.
So that is a sunk cost. That draft pick has already gone. He clearly has not performed at the level that the Giants thought when they signed him. So now you're just left with a guy that has diminishing returns and you know has shown that he's not in a position to help the Giants. So he's, you know, DFAing or trading him, either way his days are numbered. You're right. I don't see him being traded for anyone at this point.
Yeah, I agree. So like he's not going to be traded for anything, and quite frankly that's okay. Because his value right now to the Giants is as injury insurance. So those are the two names that we hear talking about being traded the most. And it's becoming clear that probably neither of them are going to be traded. But then there's other names that I keep hearing people clamoring for to be traded.
Well, and they're not just names. They're just like they're bunched, this collective young starting pitchers, right? I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about this on the show. I know I have mentioned that. And as some of our discussions around what the Giants could do, there's this assumption or maybe even a demand from some that the Giants dip into their depth in the minors for the starting pitching and go out and get a more established veteran. So there's a lot of talk around letting the guys that have been coming up through our farm system over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, utilizing some of those prospects to bring in a proven veteran like Dylan Cease or someone like that. So lots of talk around that. But I know also, again, I think you've got some thoughts around that.
That's the dumbest idea ever, is my thought on that.
I sense a drunken rant coming on.
I am sick and tired of hearing anybody talk about trading any of the young names for the San Francisco Giants for, like, Shane Bieber or Dylan Cease or, you know, Cy Young. You know, all of these fans just keep clamoring, like, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy. We need proven guys. Listeners, the Giants are in a phase right now where they are trying to prove that all of the work that they have put in over the last 5 seasons to revitalize a minor league system that was absolutely barren is bearing fruit, is finally doing what it is supposed to do. And I know that it has been a long time since we saw Tim Lincecum, Madison Bumgarner, Matt Cain come up. But you don't bring guys like that up and have them pitch in the bullpen. You don't let players like that fester in AAA until they're 30 years old. Prospects do not become stars unless you let them be rookies who play every day. You do not know what you have until you take that risk. Once a player has proven everything that he can prove in the minor leagues, you have to let him play every day. At the major league level, you have to let him start games. You have to let him play more than a spot start here and there and then pinch hit for him in his second at bat. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Gabe Kapler. You have to give these guys chances to prove that they're going to be the next Shane Bieber or Dylan Cease. I don't want other people's stuff. I want ours. I want our farmhands to prove that they are the next generation of San Francisco Giants. And you're never going to do that if you trade them away. And yes, you build up your farm system to have pieces to trade. But that's the secondary purpose that they serve. The primary purpose that your minor leaguers serve is to become your major leaguers. And Giants fans just right now feel like they don't want that to happen. Like, they don't want these kids to be major leaguers. It just blows my mind how many fans are like freaking out over the idea that their minor leaguers are going to become major leaguers, and they want to trade them all instead of letting them play. Let them play.
I think that's fair. I mean, what you say is absolutely true. I guess my only concern, and I think many fans' concern, is that that we're relying on many of them in very crucial situations. So our starting rotation, for example, could be 3/5 of really young guys who don't have any experience. So I think traditionally, or maybe ideally, you want to maybe put in one guy at a time, you know, to kind of minimize the risk. So I think that, to me anyway, is why, you know, I still feel like a Blake Snell trade makes sense. I also feel like it, because if we, you know, with the injuries that we've had to like Tristan Beck and now Sean Jelly and, you know, and Mason Black appearing to be the next in line, well, he's going to be elevated to the 40 man, maybe even sooner than we would have liked, you know, and maybe next year. Now he's a year ahead of maybe where we would have wanted him to be brought up. So those kind of things make me a little bit nervous, but I absolutely agree with you that there is this thing that you can't find out if your players are stars until you actually let them play.
Yeah.
And there's this fear, I think, from Giants fans because we're not used to that. I think the last time that the Giants actually did that kind of thing was in the late 2000s. You know, 2008, 2009, you know, there was the youth movement then.
It's been 15 years since we've been in another phase like this where the team was bad and had to be built with a series of internally young players.
Right. You can't just bring in a Burrell or a Hunter Pence or something like that to kind of round out your team. Now you're needing to kind of build the building blocks from within. And it's been a while since the Giants have done that. And I think fans kind of forget that.
I agree. And I think it's time to stop forgetting. Like, these young guys have to be given an opportunity to prove that they are ready and to play. And I get that the starting rotation is questionable, and I think the injury, especially to Beck and the setback for Wynn, were concerning. And honestly, I'm not going to gripe if we go out and get Blake Snell or we get out or some other big frontline pitcher. But I will be concerned if that guy gets signed to a long-term contract and then creates one spot that's going to be taken away from a very good crop of young pitchers that's coming up. Because that's one less homegrown superstar that the Giants are going to have the potential to have. And so, like, you have to give them opportunities. Now, just because you give them an opportunity doesn't mean that you shouldn't look for other ways to mitigate the risk. And I think for the starting rotation, the Giants have already done that. I mean, Alex Cobb is going to come back. In fact, he's going to be throwing soon or to live. He's going to be throwing live batting practice soon.
Yeah.
So Alex
a real possibility that he won't even be put on the 60-day IL.
Right. Which means that's great. So we'll see him in the first 60 days of the season. And then we know that Robbie Ray is coming in the second half of the season. So help is coming. Really experienced, high quality help is coming. And not to mention that, you know, some of the young guys are coming back too, because Tristan Beck may come back later half of the season, although I'm hearing some people are, I don't know, there's talk that he may never not start again this year. Whatever. I don't think anybody really knows. It's way too early for him. But my point is that, like, the young guys are going to be given an opportunity in the first half of the season, and then help is going to come. But what the first half of the season will do is it will help prove which of these guys are ready and which ones aren't. The Mason Blacks, the Wizenhunts, or the
Roops.
The Roops. Exactly. Which one of them are the real deal? Now, a case in point, a guy who has been given an opportunity and has been given every opportunity to take the job is Marco Luciano. Like, he's not blocked right now. That's why the Giants didn't bring back Brandon Crawford, is to make room for Luciano.
Right.
He's not doing it. He's not doing it. And if you listen to us for the last few months, you know that we're not high on him on this show. But the Giants gave him the opportunity anyway. His number one competition right now is a non-roster invitee who's not on the 40-man roster in Nick Ahmed. And he's getting his butt kicked by Nick Ahmed. I mean, let's face it. But the point is that Marco Luciano is being given the opportunity to win the job. And he's not taking it. He's not.
One hit and 17 at-bats is not necessarily
not taking it. No. And I saw him playing some shortstop, and I thought, you know what, he doesn't look horrible, but he does look a little lumbery. You know, he looks a little lumbery out there at shortstop. So I can see what people are saying by why they don't see him there long term. He still made the plays. He's only had that one error that he started the spring training with. But yeah, he's not hitting. Like, Marco Luciano is supposed to hit, and he's not hitting. And the point is that he was given an opportunity to win the job, and he's not taking it. They cleared the path for him, but they have a backup plan. And the backup plan is Nick Ahmed, who's looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, batting .556 for the spring, two home runs.
But what they didn't do is they didn't go sign a shortstop. They didn't trade a bunch of stuff for Willy Adames for 1 year of Adames, right? They hedged their bets. They came up with a backup plan that cost them less, especially in terms of young players, and they gave him the opportunity. But that being said, he's not going to take it. We don't believe in Marco Luciano. But you know who does still believe in Marco Luciano, Matthew? Fangraphs.
Really?
Fangraphs still believes in Marco Luciano because Fangraphs still has him penciled in as the Giants' opening day shortstop.
Yes.
So I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to look at the Fangraphs roster, projected opening day roster, and 40-man roster, and decide if we think they're right or if they're full of it.
Okay. Yeah, like, no, I like that. I think that's a good idea. If you're not familiar with Fangraphs, they have something called Roster Resource, where you can click on the team that you want to look at, and they have their projected 26-man. And during the season, it's the actual 26-man. Right now, it is their projected opening day roster. And then they also have 40-man people sprinkled throughout their minor leagues below. So their projected opening day lineup, Ben. And it's interesting because it gets you a little excited when you see these, because it's definitely an improvement, I think, over last year, or at least the potential is there. Some excitement is there. Well, you got Jung Hoo Lee leading off.
Mm-hmm.
Tyro Estrada at second base. Lamont Wade Jr., and this is against right-handed pitchers, right? So this is their opening day lineup against right-handed pitchers. Lamont Wade Jr. at first, Jorge Soler cleanup as DH, Michael Conforto in left field, Matt Chapman at third base, Michael Yastrzemski in right field, Patrick Bailey at catcher, and then to your point, it has Marco Luciano batting ninth and playing shortstop. So out of all of those, to your point, the Marco Luciano one stands out the most to me, because you scroll down, Nick Ahmed isn't anywhere on this roster.
Right. And we might be taking advantage of them because maybe they don't put. No, they have non-roster invitees on here, don't they? That's why it says NRI right there. I can see it for Mason Black, Dalton Jeffries. Yeah, I think they're wrong here. Like, I guess they're sticking with him because reasons, but maybe the pedigree, like a lot of people do stick to the pedigree. Maybe that's why people still think we should trade Joey Bart for something of value because of the pedigree. No, but I agree. Like the idea, I think Nick Ahmed is definitely the front runner for this. To me, it is very clear that that he is the better option, and both from a defensive and offensive side. I think this is a big miss. What's really surprising to me is that they have him on here as the starting shortstop, and they don't have anybody as the backup infielder, which is also a question mark. Because I will say this, if Marco Luciano is not going to be the starter, he's not going to be the backup.
No.
Right? Like, he's going to go back to AAA, and they're going to try to fix whatever they need to fix there. And then when he is ready, he will come up, and then he will play every day. And maybe that's a year from now, because the kid is still young, right?
He still has 2 option years. So he could be, you know, put to minors this year and even next year before they have to make a decision.
Right.
He's 22 years old.
Right.
You know, he's still really young. So there's still opportunity for him to improve.
He could establish himself as a 24-year-old like many young players do and still have a great career.
Yeah.
And
so we don't need to make this. The Giants don't need to make the Marco Luciano decision this year.
No, they do not. But they do need a backup shortstop or middle infielder.
Yeah, which Roster Resource, Fangraphs doesn't seem to think so.
Yeah, they don't have one. They don't have one.
In their bench roles, you get 4 bench players because you got 9 offensive players and you get 4 bench because they're going to keep 13 position players and 13 pitchers. That's just the way it works. And so their 4 is that you got to have a backup catcher. So, of course, that's Tom Murphy. And then you've got Wilmer Flores, who plays mostly first base, but can play third base, a little second base in a pinch. And then you've got, they have both Luis Matos and Austin Slater as their 3rd and 4th bench players. Really, you're only allowed, I mean, they can only have one of those guys, right? I mean, it's going to be most likely going to be Austin Slater unless Luis Matos just really makes the decision difficult. Austin Slater, to that point, I mean, I've only seen a couple of the last 2 games. He hasn't looked great, particularly the televised game on Saturday. He struck out twice against the left-hander that he was facing and did not look good. But still, I don't think that that's enough to override all that Austin Slater has given to the Giants and also what he's shown he can do. So I fully believe Austin Slater is going to be that extra outfielder. And Luis Matos would be swapped in for, I assume, a middle infielder, right? I mean, you need somebody that can back up at both second base and shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the Fitzgerald and Schmidt fight comes into play. And I want it to be Schmidt, but I feel like right now Fitzgerald has the front. He's in the lead because the front office seems to like him better. And I think it's because he hits the long ball and they just love hitting more than they like defense. They just do.
You say that, but I also feel like I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but he plays middle infield and outfield. So he's got a little bit more versatility there.
And with Jorge Soler
kind of locked into, you don't ever want to see him in the outfield, you're probably going to need somebody that can do both.
Hey, I saw Soler being interviewed over the weekend, and he thinks he's pretty good in the outfield.
Well, all due respect to Jorge. You know,
I mean, what is he supposed to say when you ask him, how do you think? John Miller was like, how do you think you are out there? And I know what John Miller was saying. You know, John Miller reads everything. John Miller's no dummy. Yeah. But he's like, hey, everybody thinks you suck. I'm not going to say that, but I want to hear you say that you're good. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's so Fitzgerald probably has the lead there. I mean, I really feel like, and they like his versatility as the extra outfielder, agreed. But I worry that they're giving away some on the defensive side by going with Fitzgerald over Schmidt. Mm-hmm. And you know, I really feel like if you're going to go this, the bench player really has to have a great glove. But you know, whatever. I mean, I at the end of the day, like, I'm sure this will figure itself out, because if Fitzgerald doesn't play well, then Schmidt will probably find himself in San Francisco pretty quickly. I mean, he'll probably find himself in San Francisco pretty quickly because somebody's going to get hurt at some point. But right. We're going to see plenty of Casey Schmidt this year. But I do agree that right now it looks like Fitzgerald is going to take the lead. All right. Do we dare talk about, well, do you want to dive into the rotation, this horrible rotation full of like these children who are just, oh, they're all too young. They're all too inexperienced. None of them ever won a Cy Young Award before. They're the worst. This is the worst rotation ever.
Let's talk a little about that. And I think that's all the time we'll have left. We won't be able to get into the bullpen. And Lord, nobody understands the bullpen until it's put together anyway. So
I mean, we know who five of the guys are anyway. I mean, yeah, it's six just the last
two or three spots
it's,
are
it's
up
Dovall,
in the air.
Rogers, Walker, and Jackson for sure. Those guys are locked in.
Yes. And then you got three guys that are maybe, there's probably five guys battling for three spots.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, but, you know, you've obviously with this rotation, you've got Logan Webb and Pray for Rain. No,
you don't. Really. No, you do not. No, you do not. I'm tired of people talking about Kyle Harrison like he's an afterthought, like he doesn't exist, like he's no good.
You're right. He hasn't done it yet, Ben.
Oh, I know he hasn't done it. You know what? We would all be watching a bunch of 60-year-olds play baseball if everybody was like, I don't want to see anybody who's never done it yet.
Got it.
Kyle Harrison, and you know what? He has done it. He's pitched really well in a number of games last year. So let's give him a full season, please.
Okay. All right. So you got Logan Webb and Kyle Harrison. Okay. Let's just say, we're set at those positions because obviously Kyle Harrison has earned a spot in the rotation.
Yes.
You know, so whether he's the number two guy or the number five guy, he's got a spot in the rotation regardless. God. And there's no way he's going to be the number five, but I just, you know, throwing that out there. But now, and then you've got Jordan Hicks, who has looked really good, you know,
but Matthew, he's a reliever, so he doesn't know how to pitch in the major leagues. Like, I don't know if you know this, but relief pitchers, they suck. They can't do anything. This is just, you know, Jordan Hicks, like, this is Farhan being Farhan. This is all BS. I don't care how good he looks. I don't care how fast he throws. I don't care how many people strike out against him. He's a relief pitcher. He can't be a starter. He's garbage.
Well, if you subscribe to The Athletic, Grant Brisby did a really good article on, and the title of the article was, Jordan Hicks split finger fastball might be the key to the Giants season. And that's maybe not hyperbolic to think that that's the case because out of all the play, he has definitely the talent and the ability. I mean, he throws 102 miles an hour. I mean, so he can definitely, you know, pitch, but the whole point of this article was he needs one more pitch to be able to establish himself as a starter that can get through the lineup three times. Right. And it's a great article. If you don't subscribe, you should, because it's great work. But at the same time, I feel like Jordan Hicks is kind of the fulcrum of our season. Like if he sucks it, I don't know if we got somebody that can bridge that until Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb come back at the level that we need it. He needs to be not great, but he needs to be good. He needs to be that third starter. He needs to be what Alex Cobb was, you know? I feel like that could be, so that is a little bit of a concern, but I don't know if I'm more concerned. I think I'm more excited than concerned to kind of see what he can do. I think for both Harrison and Hicks, I feel the same way, that there's so much upside that if we hit on those guys, then this could be a really good season.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to take the risk. And I know people want certainty, but like the upside on these guys is so significant. And this is really the time to take this risk. They're ready. They're here. This is the time to start building for the future and building what could be a dominant rotation, a homegrown rotation for the next 5 years. And here's the good news. Keaton Wynn is back to throwing, back to pitching against live batters. So, you know, I don't know if he'll be opening day ready, but he's going to be back. And so, you know, yes, it's young. I don't buy the fact, you know what? I'm tired. You know what? I don't buy the fact that Wynn, Beck, and Harrison were unproven. Like last year didn't happen. Like they didn't pitch. They didn't pitch at the major league level last year. Like, I just don't buy that. Like, I mean, they all pitched very well. They had some great games, and I think they all proved that they can pitch at the major league level, and now we're giving them all a shot to do it for the full season. And so, but I do agree. I do agree that Jordan Hicks is kind of the centerpiece to this. Not in the sense that he's the star, but he is just like, yeah, you're right. If it doesn't work with him, things are going to fall apart pretty quickly, because you're going to have a lot of long relief in his games, and his games might end up becoming opener games or bullpen games, and we saw how that played out last year. And my primary concern around that is that it just sort of it reduces the number of options that you have in your bullpen at any given time, because other guys will be fatigued. And I know the Giants did a good job of managing the numbers of innings pitched last year, but it certainly limited the number of options that they had within each particular game, because some guys weren't available, right? Some bullpen guys were just not available more often because they were relying on them so much in these games where they were going to pitch no matter what. And Jordan Hicks could turn into that. But right now, he looked pretty darn good. So yeah,
and looking at the Giants' schedule, starting in late March against when they open against Padres in San Diego, I was normal. A lot of times in a schedule, there's like off days, like a lot of off days early on, but that is not the case for the Giants this year. They've got 13 games in their first 14 days of the season, so so you're not going to be able to hide, you know, that fifth starter or anything like that. You're going to have to come at it with five full starting pitchers. The idea of someone like Mason Black and Keaton Wynn, I think you got to go into it looking at it as a understanding that there's some risk because they don't have a lot of experience, but also be excited for the possibilities that this could be the cornerstone of our club for the next like 5 years. Farhan keeps saying in interviews, and I for one thought that this was just code to Scott Boras, that he keeps saying that we're happy with our young pitchers, we like them a lot, we want to give them opportunities to succeed at the major league level. He keeps saying that, and yet nobody's believing him. And maybe he's actually telling the truth. And maybe he's really excited about this young core of guys and really believes in them. And so, instead of, we talked about trading and clamoring for trades and all that, instead of clamoring for trades, these are the guys that are going to be the cornerstone. These are our next Matt Cain and Tim Lincecum. And maybe that's a little too, that trajectory is probably very rare, but maybe Kyle Harrison is the next Tim Lincecum. We don't know. And so I think that these guys that we hear about with the Mason Blacks and the Wizenhunts and the Roops and all that, this could be the core of a very good starting rotation that could put the Giants in the playoffs perennially.
Right.
If we allow it.
Well, and just think about that. If you couple in like all those names, plus Kaiwei Tang, who's a guy who's been hurt. But and then you know, and Landon Roop, who I know is a little bit on the older side, but is a guy who has been pitching very well. But Mason Black and Wizenhunt and Harrison and Jordan Hicks and all of these names, that's a lot of names. And imagine that all of them come up to the major leagues this year and pitch. Right? That just increases your chances that one or two of these guys is going to establish themselves as a breakout. They don't all need to hit. Right.
You're right. And it kind of makes me think about 2020 when Logan Webb was trying to break into the rotation with all of these like veteran guys, and he got an opportunity because somebody got hurt. Was it Cueto or someone got hurt? And then he never gave it up. And there was some shakiness in that first year. But the potential, you could see it. And then by the second year, he was clearly probably behind Gausman. He was the number two guy. And so And now is one of the best pitchers in the majors at this point.
Right.
So I think that those are the kind of things that you just gotta like have faith that these are the kind of things that could happen and let it play out.
Right. And you're going to have more of those guys going through that this year than just one. And so you are going to have the chances that more than one of them are going to come out of that and establish themselves this year, which means your team is going to be younger and better next year, as opposed to just letting them rot in AAA.
Yeah, because Sacramento is definitely a place where you would rot.
Sacramento listeners, it's fine. We got a really nice, like, little historic downtown area. I like it.
Yeah, and the ballpark is pretty.
Yeah.
All right. This is probably where we should end it.
We should end.
And now that we've disappointed all the Sacramento people, we should answer today's trivia question. Let's do that.
Yes.
So today's trivia question was, what Giant holds the franchise record for most career strikeouts? And Ben said something like McGlovin McLou or something
Sweet
like that.
Sweet Glovin McLou,
which yeah. If you look up his baseball reference, it's pretty impressive. But not as impressive. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, did I make up the guy who really existed?
No. But the person, the player that holds the franchise record for most career strikeouts is Willie Mays, who struck out 1,436 times.
Stupid trivia question. I knew the answer was something like that. I was going to say Willie McCovey. You know?
This was one of those ones where, you know, the length of time that you play for the Giants definitely plays into it. But I also felt like, you know, we sometimes an out is an out. And you know, maybe, you know, we put too much into strikeouts. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Obviously,
I don't think so. But like, because I think Major League Baseball went that way. We've gone that way. And now we're pulling back a little bit. You're right.
Yeah,
an out is an out. But sometimes a strikeout is never a productive out.
That's true. And if you don't hit the ball, then you'll never have a chance of putting it in play.
That is
of getting a hit.
That is true. So, there's many players who only struck out in their careers and they didn't last long.
No.
And but so Willie Mays was not one of them.
No. But we hope Marco Luciano isn't one of them either. All right. Well, that's the trivia question answer. Looking ahead, Ben, what are you drinking next week?
I am drinking the classic and ever popular, wonderful, positive, and sweet good vibes cocktail known as the Long Island Iced Tea.
All right. And folks, I tried to counteract Ben's bad taste in cocktails by creating a classic, a new classic called the Gin Blossom. I don't know if it's going to be a classic, but it's a classic to me. I really like it. A Gin Blossom. I'll tune in on Happy Hour on Thursday and find out more about these cocktails as Ben continues his month of sweetness.
That's right. It's almost over. I can feel this has been awkward. I can't. I've been singing Farhan's praises, and this is
so bad.
This is
so
miserable. I'm just miserable.
And I would, normally we'd look at who we're playing, but we play a lot of teams.
Yeah, we're playing a bunch of spring training games.
Yeah, and maybe some split squad and all that. Although so today on today's radio broadcast, John Miller shared that Bob Melvin was purposely managing the other team against the Mariners because Jung-Hoo Lee was there and he wanted to introduce Jung-Hoo Lee to Ichiro.
That's right. And
I thought that was great. I thought that was like, I love that story just because it feels like, you know, Bob Melvin is like, you know, just dad, like introducing his new young guy to, you know, the superstar. And I just, you know, that was a nice story because I thought, oh, that's so great he wants to go over there and introduce him.
Good old dad instead of creepy, weird stepdad like the last couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Mom's new boyfriend.
All right. On that note, folks, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget to rate us on your podcast player of choice or podcast listener of choice, I guess, or player. I don't know. Whatever. Rate us on your Apple, especially if you're Apple, but only if it's going to be a good rating. If it's not a good rating, then
roast us on X.
Yes, yes. Come at us on X. Speaking of, you know, follow us on the socials at Giant Cocktails on the platform formerly known as Twitter, on Instagram, on Threads, and Mastodon, where Andrew actually took photos of his cocktail, his New Horizon, and posted it on Mastodon, which was really cool. So
there you go, Andrew.
Yes. So thank you for that. Don't forget to do all of that. I think that wraps it up, Ben. Mm-hmm. Until next week, it's been good chatting with you. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Adios, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
I blame you.
You blame me? Because I didn't know everything already?
Maybe you've done your research instead of doing Dungeons and Dragons.
You were the one who said I meant to look up who the Giants pitchers
were. Son got stranded on the side of the freeway,
I'm going to go save my son because I couldn't tell him to pay somebody to change his tire.